This episode of Lucas, Tigers, and Browns is brought to you by PWCC. Head over to pwccmarketplace.com and register. It only takes a few minutes, and it's 100% free. There you'll find weekly auctions with thousands of items, all starting at $10, closing every Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific time. You have to be registered to bid. They have the most transparent buyer's premium feature in the industry, and extended bidding like no other auction house. Give it a try. You might find something you love.
I'm on mute. I'm back. Luca Nation, what is up? Happy Sunday. Welcome back to the Fractional Report before opening bell, brought to you by Collectible. Cage, before this episode, said something along the lines of, I'll lead you to water. He's prepared for this episode, is what he was insinuating.
I am. Five
plays. He even has this idea that I'll probably get a call at like 9:45 a.m. on a Wednesday to go run with and execute. So he'll probably tell you guys a little bit about that.
Maybe.
Before we get into that, before we get into the fund, the $1,000, which plays to do, nice new hat. I don't know where you got that. Did you get that at the mall? You were at the mall today.
Yeah. The right you logo.
You got that at the mall.
They take their logo seriously. That's their logo.
I don't understand.
That's the Collectible logo. I can't get that at a mall. I got that from them at National.
It looks clean. It looks like a clean, clean black.
Boom. It is nice. Never worn before. I had one at National last year, but I gave it to Brolf. So I this is my first time getting the Collectible.
You give a lot of stuff away to people. Usually young men. What's the deal with that?
I mean, that's usually what we're surrounded by in the hobby. You know, so it's just one of those things.
Speak for yourself, Cage.
I am speaking for myself. Usually that's kind of what you have around here in the hobby. But yeah, man, it's an interesting week here. We start year two of our relationship with Collectible. So this is our 53rd episode. Let's call it episode one of season two, if we want to go that route. And yeah, one of the fun things we're doing, call it fantasy, call it you name it, is Andrew and I are going to take $1,000. We're going to load it up into a Collectible account. And, you know, previously back in season one, you know, year one, I did not have an account. I was not investing. I was giving, you know, this is what I think is low. This is what I think is high. This is, you know, you name it. And I was able to do that without having any real skin in the game. And, you know, it's a double-edged sword, right? I mean, 50% of people tell me that that's okay. Great. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, steer anyone into, you know, purchasing or selling or doing whatever it may be. You know, the other 50% were like, you know, how do you take advice from someone who doesn't have any skin in the game? And it's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting thing there. What I will tell you is this. It's almost going to be crowdsourcing. We have our Luca Nation Discord. We have a Collectible, you know, room in there. And, you know, we are going to put it to the folks and say, hey, guys, you know, what do you like? What do you think is on Collectible? What do you think of? And, you know, maybe what we'll do is we'll narrow it down to, you know, a couple choices during the week and say, hey, this is what we're, you know, what we're looking at. And which one do you think we should put that money in? And we're going to use that $1,000. We're going to hopefully build it up to something more. But, you know, we did this cigar event with Collectible at National, you know, a couple weeks ago. And we're going to use the $1,000 and hopefully build it up to, you know, something more and put that towards the budget for our event next year, you know, at our cigar event. So
if it was up to you, you would probably invest in Mickey Mantle. PSA.
I would. We could talk
about
that.
That's the Cage mood in August. Very bland. I want to smoke cigars and lay by the beach.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not this week, but yes. I mean, I mean, it's a great point. I do believe that eight is going to see the repercussions and ripple effects of, you know, the Heritage sale when it comes out. It's going to be headlines everywhere. People are going to be talking about it. People are going to be looking at that SGC 9.5. And when it breaks a record for the most expensive card ever sold, you know, usually that does impact some of the other ones. And then, you know, an 8, I mean, sitting at 1.2-ish, you know, here, you know, if this 9.5 sells for, you know, a crazy amount of money, people will look at the eights and say, okay, that's the next thing. You know, I mean, I can't get a nine. There's no nines for sale. There's no eights for sale. You know, this is, you know, one of the only, if not the only way to get some exposure to, you know, a high grade mantle is something that, you know, collecting.
Where did prospecting cage go? Where did Devontae Graham cage go? Where did Pete Alonso cage go?
Oh, I love those.
Where is those cage?
You know, we can do that, but we're talking about, you know, fractional here. We're talking about collectible. And, you know, what I think makes this machine go and what I think is going to supercharge it over time, especially with the market kind of correcting itself, is, you know, collectible and the fractional space will be the place to go for these high-end assets. The things like the Muhammad Ali belt, you know, the things that can't be purchased, the things that don't come up all the time. But Devontae Graham, you can buy that, you know, 50 times today if you want it on every different marketplace. If you want a Pete Alonso, you're not going to have trouble getting it. But if you want to get exposure to a Mickey Mantle 8, this is what we get to talk about here.
But what about a Tiger Woods PSA 10? Sports what? Illustrated, one of your favorite cards.
Yeah, I like that card. But you go tell me
40% this last week.
You go tell me where you can buy one. You know what I mean? Like that's you could the get tough one on
collectible right here.
Exactly. You can get exposure to it on collectible. But I mean, you bring up a great point. What's the prospecting? And I did say I was going to lead a fish to water here. You know, one of Andrew's favorite things. But something we've talked about here a million times. I talked about it last time I was in Disney World. We talked about it over and over again. We even did a whole episode on whether or not they are even investable. But if you have a second, can you pull up that basket of silvers that we like to talk about all the time? You know, with the Ja, Zion, Luka, Trey.
Soon they're going to be paying us to be putting our money into that basket.
So take a look at what that basket did this week, though. And that's why I say to bring it up, because we've been talking about this being overpriced and, you know, not being, you know, the typical item that you'd want to invest in on collectible, because you can go ahead and build this basket yourself. This was something that IPO'd 2,200 shares, right? And it IPO'd at what? I think $20 per share, I think, right? So you're talking about something that IPO'd at like, you know, $44,000. And now, last week, it went from $9.55 a share, you'll see, down to $5 a share, I think. Let's pull up the chart if you can to find that basket for us. But, I mean, this is something that in secondary trading was, you know, 17 and change, you know, 20. And now you have it at $5 for 2,200 shares. What is that, $11,000 total market cap for all of those? So I ask you, are we getting to a point where this is going to be something you look at as basketball season starts? Take a look at just the last week.
Okay, you know? Yeah. You listen when I speak, right? Not mm-hmm. only do you yeah. watch the games, you listen to your co-host.
I do.
Look You're not that. Someone who's a know-it-all, right? Is that not fair to all. Say?
This was 11K. This is why we talk about this, right? Because when it IPO'd at $44,000 for these cards, it's now exactly a quarter of the price.
All right, $11,000 mm-hmm. And there's two Zions, two Lucas, two Treys, two Jaws.
Correct. So this was a fun one, right? Because we can.
It still doesn't get there, brother. It still won't get there. It won't get to 11K. I think the Lucas are not too close. I mean, the Lucas are 2,000 a piece right now.
What about Zion? What about Ja? I mean, Trey's not so much, but at some point in time, is this something become, you know, there's an overreaction. Obviously, people escaped. It's not an overreaction if the, you know, if the combination of these cards doesn't add up to $11,000. But this is one we've talked about how it's been overpriced. It may still be overpriced, but how overpriced is it? And will there be a point where this comes down and maybe is investable again? You tell me.
Lucas are 2,200, Zion are 1,500 apiece, so that's what, 4,400, 7,400 mm-hmm. between Luca and Zion.
And now the Jaws.
Let's say Jaws 1,500 apiece too, so that's another 3,000, that's 10,400, and then let's say the Treys are 750 apiece. It's right around comps. But here's the thing, dude. 2018 to 2021 is screwed. Those years are Panini – put a fork into them and twisted around. So there are very few cards from those years, excluding the gold, excluding the national treasures, that I would be investing in. I would, if I was buying and I was going fractional, I would go Luka National Treasures before I went Luka Silver any day.
And this is the discussion, right? This is the discussion that, you know, I think Fractional becomes a place just for this. You know, it becomes a place just for, you know, for the higher end cards. But I'm telling you, this one here, Trey's about 500, Jaws about 1,200-1,300 each one of them. The Zions are like, you know, the same 1,500. Luka's two and change. We're actually getting pretty close to what comps are. And basketball season's right around the corner. I wonder whether or not if this, you know, continues heading down a little bit, if it doesn't become something that, you know, is now right priced.
I think we've become very comp heavy in today's day and age. Mm-hmm. And comps only tell the present day story. They don't really predict the future. What I mean is, like, I think we're going through a market kind of rationalization, like a market correcting or market finding an equilibrium. You remember those economics classes, Cage?
Yep, of course.
Whereas for a long time, there was cards where it was like, hey, this card is like the Zion Prism base PSA 10, right?
Yep.
That card, we knew the population was insane on it, right?
Yes.
And it still reached about $1,200. That is not an efficient market. That's not an accurate market. It's not a market that has equilibrium. What I think you're going to start seeing is that Luka Silver, it's going to trade similar to the Giannis base prism. Why? Not because it's a different parallel, because that's what they sold us for a long time. It's because of the scarcity, right? Both very popular players, same card in a PSA 10, around the same population, about 2,500. I think it's for a few years, the market was irrational. I think you could look at this market, though it's a downturn, as more X's and O's than hype and all the other stuff. And I would use that as we're embedding.
I think it's getting a little closer to comps. I think it's, you know, it's an interesting thing. So remember, the market went through a little bit of a swing, right? And what did people do after buying base cards and silver cards? What were all the talking heads telling them they should be doing? Do you remember?
September of 2020-ish time.
I mean, people were still buying base a little later than that. What was the flight to what? The flight to quality meant buy what? Buy the numbered cards, buy the parallels, the numbered parallels, okay. Right? And I think that's not exactly, you know, that hasn't exactly worked out either, because those are not, you know, the safe havens. But stay with me here, because this is my whole, you know, fish to water. You know, a perfect example of that is Luka. We just talked through how you don't like the silver. You don't think that's an investable piece 2018. And what people were talking about doing there was go for like a color match. Go for the out of 199 blue. Remember that there's only 199 of those. And, you know, the PSA 10, there's only like 35 PSA 10s, right? So that becomes a more, you know, better investable asset, and you name it. What about something like that? Is that something where, you know, coming into the season, that's something that's been beaten up, and because it's a numbered card, it's low pop, you name it, that's something you might look at? And before you answer, pull that up for the folks, because that's a card that in secondary was, you know, it's a card that, you know, was over its IPO for a minute there when it was first trading in secondary. It was a $10 IPO at $62.50, so $62,500. And if you take a look at what happened to this card in the last week, just like the silvers, I mean, it didn't drop 40% like the silver basket, but it looks like somebody exited this. Maybe to look to buy some football cards, you know, you look at the one-week chart, it went down from $6.50 a share to $4.95, which means for the first time since the IPO, never this low in secondary trading, it's less than half the IPO price. It's now down to just under $31,000. This is not something that sells that often. And if you were to pull up, you know, Center Stage or Card Ladder or whatever it is that you pull up the data on, you'll see that the last one that sold was in May of 2022 for $36,000. So this card now, for the first time since it's been trading, is below comps. I know we're very comp heavy, and, you know, the next time this sells, it could sell for less. Remember, that's just one data point in the last 3 months. It sold in May. You know,
it sells once every 3 months. You're absolutely right. October 23rd, 2021, December 19th, 2021, March, there was two sales, and then May. And then here we are. Is there another one up for auction or not?
No, not that I know of. I mean, it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really come up that often. And I guess my question for you, for the folks listening, is, you know, if the Silvers are not a place to put money, and everybody's looking at football now and baseball postseason is going to come, and basketball, we haven't really – people – we always tell people it's the offseason. That's when you should be looking at, because in the run-up it's going to – you know, is this now a buy?
I think so. And I think we struggle to put a price on this, or, you know, a factor on this. But I think aesthetic matters. And, like, as I've been selling more on Whatnot Cage – mm-hmm. Jersey number's cool, but color matches, people really like the color match. They very much do. And it adds this, it like checks another, right? Because we're trying to be different with our investment. We're trying to have something that other people desire that's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Color match checks another box. It has the numbered, it's the PSA 10, it's the rookie. But then you add that color match, it kind of differentiates that investment from others, and it makes it just that much more desirable.
I would tell folks I agree with everything Andrew just said. And before I pivot from something he just made a point in beautifully into another item that really dovetails nicely with what he's talking about with aesthetics.
You're a beautiful dancer.
This here would be
an item. Are you a Latin pivot, or is this? Would you say you're a romantic ballroom?
If we had our fun set up, this would be one in our chat, in our Discord, that we would give as an option. This one here I like because no one's looking at these right now. And, you know, this is at a price point now below the last comp, below the last sale. Not a lot of them out there. This is one I wouldn't mind having my money in, even if we're holding it for a little while and waiting for basketball season. I don't think you get too hurt with a Luka color match, just like Andrew's saying. To dovetail into your color match, aesthetics matter. Jersey number, not so much. Aesthetics, a nice patch on a limited RPA goes a long way, doesn't it?
It goes a long way, doesn't it? Yes.
So if we were to look at the 03 Exquisite LeBron RPA, the BGS 85.
Talk about dancing with the card. You've been dancing with this card for a few months.
So, guys, we
can, a little romance.
Exactly. I like this card, but this is, we're talking about comps. There's a BGS 85 on collectible, and it's currently trading at $780,000. I want you to repeat that back to me.
$780,000.
Exactly.
Professor.
That's what it's being traded at. BGS 85. But pull up the patch on this.
Yes. Okay. Three colors.
But not exactly the most gorgeous patch in the world. Now,
I'd rate it a 6 out of 10.
The last golden auction that ended on August 6th, a week ago, a new data point, they had a PSA 7 that sold. All right. Now, if you want to pull up the patch, you can. But do you remember what's this one, this 85 trading at? It's trading at
780,000.
So if I were to ask you, what was it trading at again?
780,000.
Okay.
Sir.
What do you think the PSA 7 with a 10 auto in golden sold for?
850. No! People are PSA. People love PSA.
What was the BGS 85 again?
780.
Exactly. That's what the golden PSA 7 sold for. Exactly. $780,000.
With buyers?
The same exact price. With buyers, premium. Wow. Exactly pinned. 780.
So, can I just dovetail? Please. You know, I just said the market is very rational right now. Mm-hmm. I think that if you took a snapshot of our market, that is what the market thinks of PSA to BGS right now.
I think that's my next PSA 7, BGS 85, 780, 780. Here's the kicker, though. Here's the kicker. If you were to pull that card up, which I can send you a link if you want, but if you were to pull that card up, I think most people would argue that the patch on the one that's old and golden, the PSA 7 patch, is a nicer patch and does add aesthetically to the card. It's mostly maroon on the left side, and it's got like a white and gold stripe down like diagonally. It's a little bit nicer of a patch. I mean, it's not the sickest patch I've ever seen, but it's definitely a nice patch by comparison. Yes.
Gun to your head.
Mm-hmm.
Four guns. You have to tell the God honest truth. On this card, how much does grade matter?
Once you get below this 7 that we have here, I don't think it matters that much. I think if you get high enough, it matters. You know what I mean? You get some of the nicer ones. You get it to 9.5s. Those cards are really, really nice. They'll sell for significantly more. But once you get into this range, I mean, you know, sure, you get something that's a bad grade at BGS 6 or something like that, it's going to sell for significantly less than these. But, you know, I think, yeah, look at that. See, that's a nicer patch, right? But I'll tell you, Cage.
Just look at, like, I know we don't talk about this enough, but maybe you guys in the comments, people have been blowing up our comments recently. I don't answer them all, but I see them, guys. So I just feel like this card in whatever the grade is in this slab looks so much more desirable than a BGS one for whatever reason. It just, I think the appeal is a little bit nicer in that slab.
And the patch is definitely nicer too. But I agree with you. I agree with you. You even that one, which is the silver 8.5. I mean, once you get below that, you're talking about a white patch, or for the eights and below. I agree with you 100%. But I mean,
I learned that at art galleries, the frames that they put the art into are equally, if not more important, for presentation purposes. So I'm starting to think of like these grading companies as frames in a lot of ways.
I think that's probably an accurate
thing. For the museum pieces.
Think of what we just, how we just did the aesthetics. Would a color match also fall into the category of potentially a better frame of the athlete, right? That Luca blue, right? In the PSA 10 slab, it's double framed. It's got a color match blue frame around the athlete, and then it's got a nice slab around it in a PSA 10. So I think you're 100% right.
Silver always leaves something to be desired.
Yeah, I mean,
first or last. I just watched Talladega Nights.
If you ain't first, you last. I'm racing for me. So another golden that had, I think, a strong price compared to recent sales, Brady 2000 Contenders and a BGS 9. Right, and golden sold for $80,400. $80,400 9, with a 10 auto. Can you pull up for me the Brady Contenders basket? Right. So again, 9 with a 10 auto sold for $80,400. I don't want you to pull too hard. So let's take a look at these guys. Are these both 9 with 10 autos?
Yes.
So they're both 9 with 10 autos, just like the one that sold on at Golden. But let's do a little bit of math here, right? If the one at Golden sold for $80,400, what's two of them? That's $160,800. What is this at, the basket? About $130,000.
132, 30. You're absolutely right.
So it's a little low by comparison to those recent comps. So, I mean, I know I'm a little bit all over the place. We're trying to have the last week's golden comps, high level, cards. You're talking about Contenders Brady's. You're talking about, the LeBron Exquisite. There's some, interesting plays. If you are a buyer of BGS 8.5 and think that card is something that should carry a premium to a PSA 7, well, then the 780 on collectible is let's call it a bargain. It's a little low by comparison. If you think the PSA 7 is the same as a BGS 8.5, then, the card's valued appropriately. This one here, exactly the same. BGS 9 with 10 auto. Two of them, 130. That's a 65,000 instead of the 80 that it sold for in Golden. Just recent comps. What did you see in the data?
Couple questions for you, Cage,
real quick before we get into it.
I need you to do a 5 to 10 minute breakdown on type 1, type 2, and type 3 photos.
Nice.
But first, before we get into that, do you think about type 1, type 2, and type 3 photos as collectible items, as investable items, or as display items? What I mean by that is what mindset are you in when you're buying a type 1 photo? Are you like, I think this is a great investment and I could sell it at a later date. It's a good store of value. Or I just love this picture and it's iconic.
All right. So, I mean, the type one photo is original photograph developed from the negative within the first 2 years, approximately, from when it's good the way it is, buddy. Thank you. My computer died. It always does. So that's a type one. Type two, it's developed later on. Type three, even later. There are actual categories for this in PSA. You can take a look at their website for how they grade them, type one, type two. Before that, before PSA was dealing with these, I remember seeing a different definition by Mears called generation one photos. And those were developed from a negative, but could be as far out as 5 years from it. So it's an interesting thing. PSA is kind of spearheading the type one, type two, type three. I have recently started buying some of these type ones. I think it's a cool little segment. I don't know if it'll ever catch on. And, you know, we'll see. But I think it's a cool historical, you know, reference. I think that if PSA ever comes out with some sort of, you know, population report on them so people can know just how rare they are, that will be an interesting little development for price discovery. Until they have something like that, I don't know if you ever really know how rare a photo item is. You know, the Babe Bows Out that we've talked about a couple of times on the show, you know, it seems like I'm seeing more and more of those come out. I know Nat Fine, who was the, you know, the one who won the, was a Pulitzer. I mean, he won an award for I don't even know. He won a photography award.
He won an iconic photo. He was
taking that picture, right?
And he took his phone out before every. That's
no, yes. He didn't take his phone out.
And he took a photo. He emailed it as quick as possible, and they used that one.
So anyway,
type one is dead, right? Like, because we're never really, everything is digital now.
I mean, you could feasibly still have a type one photo if somebody took a camera with film to a game and took a picture at the game and then developed it from the negative. That's a type one photo. I mean, you could definitely still do that. But yes, everybody's kind of gone digital now. The thing about the type ones is that they weren't a collectible. The reason why I think it's cool is because people were not using them to collect. They were using them to take picture, develop it, and then send it out to like newspapers and wire services so that people could put them in the paper. And a lot of these things are in like libraries and stuff, you know, they're like saved as little relics, but like cards originally, like a lot of things that became collectible, they weren't held onto. People didn't hold on to them. They weren't like, oh, I'm going to keep this. It's going to be it's going to be a record. You know, that's one of the cool things.
So why would somebody then on Fractional? So the biggest earner this week is the Lou Gehrig 25 exhibit rookie card image. It's a type 3 photo. So not even a type 1. That was up 117% this week. How would you explain that?
I mean, I think there are a couple of them selling in some auctions here. There's some Babe Ruth, you know, exhibits as well.
51,000 market cap.
Yeah. It's rare. I mean, obviously what happens is somebody decided they wanted to get in on it. Maybe somebody wants to buy it. So they're grabbing as many shares as they can of it. I honestly can't explain it because they don't know of a comp on it. I know it's not, oh, somebody's just jumping into type ones because the Babe Bows Out one recently just sold for less than prior copies have sold for. I think what's interesting about that particular one, I was looking at it, I was actually bidding on it, is the autograph's a little bit weird. It was autographed by Nat Fine, and it kind of was in a weird spot, like in the bottom right corner of the picture. It kind of looked like it was written on home plate, and it was like signed to like a family or something like that. Also, it was a little yellowed. And it was a larger version. As it currently stands right now, I'm pretty sure like 8.5 by 11, sort of like loose leaf size, is the limit that PSA will slab a type one photo. So the jumbo ones, they'll give you a letter of authenticity, but they won't put it in a case, which you would think, okay, whatever, it's still authentic, it's still a jumbo, it's still a cool thing. But I think the ones that are slabbed by PSA, they do carry some, you know, some weight. People like that. People like the slab. It makes it more quote unquote collectible. So I think that might have had something to do with, you know, this particular item, maybe. But yeah, I mean, I can't tell you why the Lou Gehrig is moving this week, other than I think it was actually one of the ones that was down in prior weeks. And we've seen a lot of that, you know, up and down. If you look at the chart, I think it probably had one of those downs and now it's coming back up.
Would you be investing in Mookie heading into the playoffs?
Mookie
Dodgers
Betts
are incredible.
The Dodgers are great. I mean, the Yankees traded him Joey Gallo, and they basically haven't lost since. Jerry Callow. Would I be investing in Mookie? No, I wouldn't. I like Mookie Betts. I think he's great. But I think he's already shown you what his top side is, and people are not really, you know, people not really putting their money in that. People are putting their money in the young guys who can win, you know, a whole bunch of championships, a whole bunch of MVPs. I think, you know, we've seen the MVP seasons from Mookie Betts. I don't think we're going to see more of them. You know, he also has one of those, you know, he now a split franchise, right? So, I mean, he did what he was going to do with the Red Sox, and now he's going to do whatever he does with the Dodgers. And, you know, the allegiance, you know, love and fan base for him is going to be split now. So,
Cage, this is the only one that I wanted to talk about. This is probably 30 minutes towards the end of the episode. Fernando Tatis Black Label, Bowman Chrome Blue Refractor out of 150. Black Label, insane card. Maybe one of the best cards on collectible. Just a gorgeous card. This is obviously going to get crushed this week. Are you dip buying? Would you put your $1,000 into that?
Would no. you wait? And I have to apologize to you. Maybe.
You're allowed to.
Maybe. Because he had his 80-game suspension. Yes. I looked up the rules. Believe it or not, Card Porn messaged me to tell me that I may have been wrong and that I need to tell you, you might have been right, that the suspension will count the games of the postseason. ESPN wrote that it will. Another article I read wrote that it doesn't. The way I read the rules is that when you are suspended during a season, you become ineligible for the playoffs. So even if he was suspended 25 games right now, let's say, right, which is not the case, but let's say he's suspended 25 games and his suspension ended during the season, or let's say he had his 80-game suspension and it was the beginning of the year, he still couldn't play in the playoffs even if his suspension was over, right? He'll be suspended for the playoffs. That doesn't count. It doesn't become like an 85-game suspension. He's just ruled ineligible for the playoffs. The way the ESPN article was written is that I think he misses the first 42 games of this season. A lot of them are saying the next 38 games of next season. The ESPN one says he might not miss 38. It depends on how many postseason games he misses and that those will count towards the 80. I read the rules. Like I went to like the MLB rule book and couldn't interpret it. It's like pretty crazy. So I will get to the bottom of that.
Fun sport, guys. Guys have a really good sport on your hands.
I may be wrong. You may be right. The 80
Stop
games,
having too much fun to tease. Let's just create a really long rule book that makes life
I mean,
boring.
Listen, we talked about this yesterday's episode. I don't want to belabor the point. I'll answer and then I'll throw it to you. I will not be buying Tatis.
You don't prospect at all, dude.
It has nothing to do with prospecting anymore, and I did. I made my money on Tatis, and I sold Tatis, and I don't own a single Tatis ever again. I did prospect on Tatis. So, but here's the fun. I saw a rudimentary – dude, wait till it makes you old. And when it finally does, you can start making some money. So I saw a rudimentary poll, right? And the poll was, does this impact his ability to get into the Hall of Fame? Is he now in the same category as Bonds and Clemens? And 78
entrepreneurs polled.
78% of the people polled said he's in that category now. Now, sure, it's a rudimentary poll. Maybe it's 12 people. I have no idea. But I tend to agree with those 78%. I think you break the rules, you break the rules. And you know, maybe that's silly, right?
The demo of the poll is a bunch of grown men who change their minds all the time.
Maybe. I think what's funny is you probably will find this interesting. I think Bonds and Clemens should be in. Like, I don't
Bonds
care
and Clemens that. Took steroids and then weren't suspended and used it to their advantage. This guy was injured, took steroids. It didn't even affect his
how
he didn't play
that?
This year.
How do you know that? How do you know he didn't use it? How do you know that he did not he wasn't able to come back and play weeks earlier than he otherwise would have if he didn't take this steroid?
No, that's not what
And
I'm
then asking. This bullshit argument that he made about how he had ringworm makes it even worse. He's a child. This is why you love him. Because you think you should get 19 chances when you make mistakes and that you should be able to take the drugs with you and the drug-sniffing dog shouldn't be in the airport to bother you. Like, all kinds of fun.
The avalanche is starting. The avalanche is starting.
You love Tatis. We should be able to all be just – he should just be out in the dugout. They should take –
they should,
get rid of
should
the sunflower
be in the
seats.
Dugout.
They should just be just slamming.
Yeah.
There you go. No,
what
it.
I'm saying
you know,
is
Zombie
Bonds,
Nation in the background. Like just
so Bonds was doping. And he wasn't caught till a much later date. So from the time he started doping, we don't know what that is, to the time he got caught, he was actually playing on the field.
Okay.
This guy was not playing while doping. So
how do you know?
Maybe
he just was able to like steal someone else's piss.
If from today to when his career's over, he still performs at an incredibly high level, that will be his legacy. Not him getting caught for doping 1 year into his career.
Negative. And he's been playing for many, many years. The sad part is that he's had a heck of a career already. Top three MVP
playing?
Voting a bunch of times. Yeah, man. He's been playing. Man, this would have been
his MVP voting? That's what we celebrate now?
That he's done well, yes. Not a lot of people have finished top three for three straight years.
Mike
he wouldn't
Trout
have done
has.
It this year. Yeah. Well, if the category you're in is Mike Trout, you're doing pretty well. Yes, you do want to reward that. You know, if you and Mike Trout are in a category together, yeah, we could say you're doing something.
Literally never won a playoff series, so I don't
Trout
know how
hasn't.
great
yeah,
of a
man.
Category that is.
So do you still own your Ted Williams card?
I love Ted Williams.
Uncollectible?
He's I don't own him because he's a great I don't that's not
never
why
won a playoff series either.
He went to war. He was an American hero.
Oh,
that's different.
Yeah. Okay. You know what he probably also never did?
He dated Marilyn Monroe 100%.
He never took steroids, I don't think, while he played.
Dude, they all did. Marilyn
Monroe, you're so stupid.
They all took stuff.
You're so dumb. Marilyn Monroe. Well, listen,
dude, there was
Ted
a
Williams.
Point in America where LSD,
pull up that Ted Williams, by the way. I was going to keep that one
and all
quiet
that stuff was
for,
legal.
But anyway, that Ted Williams one, that's an interesting one also. It took a little bit of a dip recently as well, if you want to take a look at that one. Do me a favor. Run through the data for us if you can. The highs, the lows, what's IPO?
You care about the? You don't care what's in my brain?
I do.
You just want me to be a day. I watched the 1980 finals, Celtics versus the Lakers. Magic Bird.
They saved basketball there.
So first off, the game was not more physical back then than it is now.
Not in 80, definitely not. But in the late 80s and early 90s, it definitely was. Like
so
you
the
watch,
game is
watch
not
some,
even.
Watch, I'm watch going the to. Detroit Bulls series. Watch how Detroit plays. If you want to talk about physical basketball? Then watch
so
the Knicks. Watch like the
harder.
Davis brothers in Indiana play against like Charles Oakley. Watch that Anthony Mason. Watch those guys play. It's definitely physical.
Dude, Magic, no left hand.
Magic
no
had
left
no
hand.
Left hand.
He just dribbles with his right hand.
Okay.
It just put in perspective how much better today.
I mean, he was also playing against plumbers.
I wouldn't say that he's playing against plumbers, but you could clearly see a distinction between the game today and the game back then. Athleticism, speed, skill, shooting ability. Like a Tyrese Halliburton would be an MVP of the league at that point. He would be the best player on the court in 1980 finals.
In what area of the world can you say that things have gotten slower based on progress?
So I'm glad you asked. I think that if somebody asked you guys if baseball has improved since those days, I would think you guys would actually say that it hasn't. The players were better then.
When? In the 80s? It's a very different game. And
I would
say
you would
no.
say that.
I would say no. I'd say that, you know, people are stronger and faster now. They're throwing the ball 105 miles per hour now. Nobody could do that. These guys are huge. They're launching home runs at a pace like we've hardly ever seen. So, you know, the game has gotten, you know, the athletes are also, you know, significantly better. They're more athletic, even in baseball. But I will tell you this. If you're talking about, like, style of play, whether or not the game was better, watching Yankees Red Sox yesterday, and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa laid down a bunt when there was a runner on first and a runner on third. And it was, I mean, like, I had to stop and play it four times for Ian just to show him this
How
is a textbook. It was amazing. It was the best bunt I've ever seen. It was like
really?
Jeter-esque. Yeah, he laid down a bunt that was far enough towards first base that the pitcher had to come off the mound for it, and the first baseman didn't know if the pitcher was going to be able to reach it. So first baseman had to come off first base. So when the pitcher finally got it, he couldn't throw it home because he wouldn't have had time to get it out of his glove, right? He couldn't throw it to first base because no one was at first base, and everyone was safe. And there was no throw. I mean, it was just an amazing bunt. It was. I couldn't have put it in a better spot if I was taking the ball and rolling it out there. It was an amazing
Buster.
Play, and it's not a home run. It's not launch angle. It's not, you know, 105 mile an hour fastball. It was small ball. And then later on, you know, to save the game, the catcher made a great play. Two kind of left a great defensive plays. It was just, small ball wins the games, and it was fun watching that.
Well, Hoops Nation, you got some clips to put out. Put that bunt out. You're going to get a ton of likes and comments. It's a sick bunt. Right to first
would.
Base. Not close enough to the pitcher, so the pitcher has to stretch. Amazing. Amazing stuff. You described it incredibly well.
I
might
go
watch that game
on replay. It's sort of like admiring a pass that Draymond puts exactly in the right spot for Steph to catch and shoot, right? Everybody is clipping Steph's shot. But the people who understand and watch the games, bro, instead of making fun of it, they can understand the nuance that's there and appreciate the play before the play. You can appreciate the small ball. You can appreciate what Draymond does and brings to the game, even though it might not be as clippable. If Hoops Nation just put the pass of Draymond on there, people wouldn't watch it. But they do, because you watch the game, you appreciate how that pass made the win possible.
NBA's doing a cool series, like best passes, best handles. They've done a lot of clips. I've given MLB a chance. I want them to do better. I know they'll contact us when the time is right.
The Tatis thing is terrible. I mean, it's just bad. But, I mean, how do you blame baseball on that? Baseball didn't make him take this stuff.
What is our favorite quote? History doesn't repeat itself, but it...
It rhymes.
A-Rod and Tatis.
Yeah, A-Rod wasn't exactly like the face of baseball.
Conseco-Rod.
I mean,
Clemens-Rod. Why am I rhyming everything with Rod?
I don't know.
A-Rod. All right, Data. Rod.
Yeah.
Data. Lou Gehrig, that type 3 photo, up 115% last week. Tiger Woods, SI for kids, up 40%. That's the perforated card, Cage's favorite Tiger Woods card. 96, 5 years before his Upper Deck. Is Upper Deck 2000 or 2001?
I think it's 2001.
2001. I think so, too. Tom Brady, 2000, NFL debut, full ticket, PSA 10, PSA 7, up 40%. The three biggest decliners, Giannis game-worn, signed sneakers, Luka Doncic game-worn jersey, and then the silver basket that we talked about. And the only buyout was the Jordan 09 patch auto, which was 95.7 is what it's trading at, jumped 26%.
There was a buyout offered and was rejected by 75% of voters. It's down from its IPO, but it's also trading at lower than recent sale prices are. It's a cool card. I can understand why the voters rejected that, especially because most of them, you know, who bought in, even that buyout would be at a price lower than what most people are in at. So I can understand why people, rejected that offer. Maybe there'll be another one. Who knows?
Mr. Cage, any final words?
Am I buying Tatis? No, I'm not buying the dip on Tatis. I think it's going to be very difficult for Tatis to come back. I would love to root for him. I think people will root for him. I'd love to watch him. But no matter how many playoff games he misses, you know, it's going to impact next season also. He'll probably wind up missing 30-something games next season when all is said and done. Yeah, but baseball's weird that way, right? Where, you know, the counting stats matter and, you know, maybe he comes back and maybe they win a World Series and all is forgiven. More likely, he wins a World Series, they win a World Series, and Juan Soto gets the credit for it rather than Tatis. Also, you know, seasonal stats, we talked about this, matter a lot. You know, Acuna, this is the year he does 40-40. You know, Judge, is he going to hit more than 61 home runs and have the American League record and break the Yankee franchise record that Roger Maris has and hit more? I mean, the single season stuff matters, you know, in all sports it does, right?
I still can't believe they suspend 80 games for the first offense.
Well, it wasn't always 80. I think it was 50 previously, and the Players Association changed it.
Relax.
They changed it to I think it was 2014 to 2015, and they changed it to that 80-game first time. Dude, I mean, you know, I think we've talked this to death, but yes, I mean, baseball has, you know, the more strict rules when it comes to this stuff, and the players know it. So,
are you excited for a NFL show?
Maybe he's healthy enough to get back on his motorcycle again and, you know, hurt himself there. Who knows? I don't wish him to get injured.
He's such an asshole for riding a motorcycle, dude. You old heads are actually. I don't even know if you realize how mean you are. Like, people are excited that this 23-year-old that this 23-year-old kid is, like, throwing his life away. People are, like, happy about it.
Who's happy?
No one's happy about it.
And, dude, listen, I know, yes, you think, hey, he's riding his motorcycle. You are that guy who lived in Mexico and rode a Vespa around. And, you know, so it is fun and free. But let me tell you something. When you sign a contract for $300 million, you tell me if you're getting on a motorcycle. Okay, you tell me if you're breaking the rules.
This is what this kid is doing now
and jeopardizing
Couch Warriors, dude.
Not just your legacy, but your money.
Dude, he's 22, 23 years old. Yeah. Like, I obviously it's not a good decision. No one's, what they're saying is
you're still a kid. You still want to experience life, and you're going to make mistakes.
Now there's a couple of them that he's made.
You know, I don't want this. A couple of them. Yeah. Are you excited for a Whatnot show, NFL Sunday Whatnot show? Are you preparing for that 100%. At all? Are you scouting? Are you watching preseason football?
I have watched a bunch of preseason football. Does not help at all because most of the talented players don't play. Do you know the Baltimore Ravens basically haven't lost a preseason game in like 5 years? Like they go out there and win every. I mean,
their
coming
bench
year,
squad has to like be insane.
21. No, wow. Their coaches take it seriously that they, you know, they actually want to win every one of these games. The preseason's silly. I mean, Tom Brady's taking 2 weeks off to just hang out with his family. You know, like the teams that you will see in the preseason, they're not the teams you're going to see in the regular season. I like rule changes that matter. You know, I the first week and the second week, I do very well. Because, you know, the rule changes matter, the team changes matter, you know, who's going to score more, what defense, you know, who overhauled their team. You know, you can kind of get an edge while everybody else is kind of watching and waiting to see what's going on. You know,
how good are my Eagles going to be with that Davis fella? How good are the Eagles going to be?
They win the division. Eagles are going to win. They're going to win the division, Eagles.
We have a good team?
Yeah, because they're not – no, it's just a very weak division. Dallas doesn't really have much in the way of defense, and their wide receiver core is depleted. I think if they were being smart, they'd actually play a two running back offense for as long as Zeke stays healthy. They're paying him the money, put him actually at tailback, and let Pollard run the slot. Get him out there on offense. He's better in the flat anyway. Get him out there, get him some touches, let him take some of the wide receiver reps until you guys get healthy again. But even that, I mean, their offense will be fine. Their defense won't be. I think the Eagles are, I don't want to call it the class of that division because there's, you know, there really is not that much great stuff going on in that division. The Giants are just stupid. They have Daniel Jones out there in preseason just getting shellacked. I mean, most teams are protecting their quarterbacks. He's out there just getting trounced. I mean, he's taking some shots.
Do you think the Rams could repeat?
Yeah, I mean, the NFC is wide open, and, you know, they've lost some players, but they actually have gained some very good players on defense as well. The NFC – yeah, go ahead.
Have you seen what Matt Stafford cards go for? He's still priced relatively cheap for what – he's actually kind of an accomplished quarterback in the NFL now.
Nobody cares. Look at his... Seriously, nobody cares. Everybody wants the guy who could potentially be Tom Brady next. And that's why you're right saying that most of these people are going to lose. We've compared these guys, right? Like Aaron Rodgers is an accomplished quarterback. Look at the fraction that he sells for to Brady and even to some of these younger guys. Drew Brees was an accomplished Super Bowl MVP winning quarterback. His cards don't sell for anywhere near what you would think they would sell for. Brett Favre, Troy Aikman, you know, John Elway. I mean, the list goes on and on. These are all people who actually won Super Bowls, you know, who were great quarterbacks. And the price for their cards are low. Matt Stafford falls somewhere in those names that I mentioned. You know, Aikman has more Super Bowl wins. You know, Brett Favre has MVPs and Super Bowl wins. Rodgers, the same thing. I mean, he's lower on the list than all of those guys. You know, he got his Super Bowl. But I can name for you a bunch of quarterbacks that won Super Bowls. They don't have the career that he had. He's put up some good numbers, and he's played for a very long time. But, I mean, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl and then cried about it.
So what? You are – let me just understand your investing thesis here.
Yes, please.
So you
– you're going to try to understand
as the year winds down.
The last five episodes, you've made fun of it but still don't have it understood. All right, that's fun.
So
typical
as
Andrew.
The year winds down, you're playing it very conservative. If it's in your strike zone, you're swinging. If it's anywhere on the corners, you're not. Is that fair to say, Cage?
I'm trying to look where other people are not, right? So, you know, this week there's a lot of good auctions ending. You know, there's a lot of really nice vintage cards. I don't know whether I'll be able to grab any of them. But, you know, there are items out there. Like, for example, PWCC has some really nice items ending tonight. but there's also a Robert Edward auctions ending with some of those. Remember the 1869 Cincinnati Redlegs cards that I tell you about? You know, the one of the first professional baseball teams, the CDVs, the large ones, the Peck and Snyder ones, the advertising back. You know, they have some of those on, you know, auctions night. Like, those are things, they're single-digit total counts of these items.
You're going to buy it? How much does one go for? $10K?
It depends which one there are. Some of them are over $100,000 already.
And you're looking at these? You know,
some of them are $25,000, $30,000.
Just because they're old. No one even knows anything about them. Just
because some of them are considered the first actual baseball card by baseball card definitions. And the Cincinnati one is the first professional, all-professional baseball team. So things like that, right? Things that – it's funny. You asked where my brain is. You went through NFTs last year, right? And do you remember that time where – everybody was just buying all the modern stuff, minting. These are the blue chips, even though there was no such thing as a blue chip. And I said that, it pissed you off. And you said, be a collector. Go out and buy an alien friend, because that's going to make you a lot of money over time. And but at the time you were saying that stuff, right?
Jesus Christ. He combines 44 conversations into one.
So Cage here's is, the fun, right?
Cage is,
what was anything going he says on about me time.
Is a smoothie. It's a smoothie.
All based on truth, though. Smoothie of truth. So what were they people... People were all looking for the original stuff. People were looking for, like, the first ones. People want to go back to what is it that started all up. Because while the modern stuff may or may not pay off, you know, if the segment is going to survive, if collectibles are going to be here for, you know, forever, if baseball cards are going to be here forever, then, you know, the things that started it off, the things in the 1800s, you know, those first cards, the tobacco cards, the... you know, the Goodwins from the, you know, 1887, you know, the Cap Ansons and the Mike King Kellys and, you know, those kind of
Does
cards.
Does anyone even know about these cards?
Did anyone know about Mona Lisa before it got stolen?
You're going, that's, you think.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood. Touche in the floor.
Thank you for spending some time with us on another episode of the Lucas Tigers and Bronze Oh My podcast. Do us a favor and like, subscribe. Now, you know what? Don't just like and subscribe. Everybody does that. If you like us, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your enemies, tell everybody. And we hope you got something from spending some time with us today, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.